Hey guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Nick, and we're going to be talking about everything fitness, health, and the challenge.
Let's get on with the show.
What's up guys, Coach Steve here, and welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Podcast. In today's episode, I'm joined with one of Max's top 10 finalists, Michael Economides.
That's close enough, yeah.
Sorry, Michael.
Economides, all good.
Welcome to the Challenge Podcast.
Yeah, thank you, pleasure.
Mate, I'm so excited to spend a little bit of time chatting with you about your experience with the challenge. But look, Michael, just a few days ago, you found out that you made one of our top 10 finalists for the August Challenge. How has the past couple of days been for you?
Look, it was a pleasant surprise to make the top 10, but to be honest, nothing's really changed. I'm still eating well, training well, drinking well, walking and sleeping. So, look, it was a good thing, but for me, it's onwards and upwards, and every day is pretty much the same as the last.
I like it. I like that mindset straight off the bat, you know, where some individuals take the challenge as, you know, a once in a lifetime thing that they do, and they wipe their hands and walk away. But I like that you're back on the wagon, as you would. You didn't really take any time off, and you're onwards and upwards to see where you can take it next, right?
Definitely. Yeah, look, I'm hoping to be sort of pretty much the same at 60 as what I was at 50. So it's just a lifelong thing with me.
No, awesome. Well, look, Michael, I know a little bit about you having read your profile, but there might be some people who are listening to this who might not know who you are. So would you like to start by giving us a little bit of an introduction, maybe telling us where you're from and what you do for work and who is Michael?
Okay. From Melbourne, live Bayside. Pretty much not too far from the beach on Beach Road. I've been a professional all my life in finance, recently retired in March, and just sort of the COVID and everything like that, I just pretty much had enough. Now, being semi-retired, I spend the majority of my time doing support work for mental health and also people with disabilities, and I love that.
Wow, that's very honourable. I like that. Is that a lot through kind of face-to-face work, or are you lots of calls and back-end work? Like, what kind of work is it?
No, it's all face-to-face now, so I'm one of the frontline people. So a lot of my work is with men between the age of 14 and 30, and it's fitness-based. Try and build their confidence, self-esteem, and functionality through different fitness meets.
I like that. That's awesome.
So with that said, I'm looking to get PT qualifications over the next little bit of time, so the Cert 3 and Cert 4, just to enhance my offering.
I like that so much. Is that through an organization, or is that like privately through yourself?
Yeah, it's through the NDIS scheme. So I have my own business and I operate through what's called Maple.
That's awesome. I like that so much.
That's great.
Now, look, talking about the challenge, my understanding is this is one of the first challenges that you did with us, or have you done a couple of challenges with us?
Yeah, look, I did one early on, and I think I would have been in my low 40s, so it would have been, 2012, 13 or something like that. And it was a 3-month challenge. And look, I took it quite seriously and got in like fantastic shape, probably the best shape I've been in since 21. But unfortunately for me, I didn't upload the final photo properly. And someone got in contact with me and I still didn't do it. So I didn't actually finish that challenge, but I was in great shape. And it's been another 10 or so years on now and I'm doing another one.
Yeah. So look, talking about this August challenge, let's speak a little bit about why you chose to sign up to this challenge. Was there a big reason why, or is it just, you kind of saw it and you wanted to jump on the wagon? Like, why did you join us in the August challenge?
Really to support my wife. She's done a number of challenges this year. I think she was into her third one. And at the start, she just needed a change. She wasn't in the physical shape that she'd been in when she was younger, and also that took a toll on her mentally and physically as well. So I worked very closely with her over the 3 challenges and she's made some exceptional results. So she's just improved from challenge to challenge and from gap to gap as well. So there hasn't been a downtime for her over the last 9 months. And really what we're focused on is something that's sustainable. You know, we don't need to be Mr. and Mrs. Olympia, but we need to have lifestyle choices that are sustainable for us to get us to where we want to be.
I like that. I like that mindset. Now, Michael, it sounds like you've been in the fitness space for quite some time. Like, have you always been involved in like gyms, or have you always just been kind of like into sports? Like, what's like your fitness background?
Okay. Look, I started boxing as an amateur probably at the age of 16 and finished up at 19. During that time, I got introduced to some strength training by one of the boxers that I trained with. His name was Jimmy Thunder, and he was an international heavyweight. He trained at Jack Rennie's at the time I was there, and his physique was just, he looked like a god. And I just spoke to him about it, and he said, "Look, you know, this is what you do." He said, "When I was your age, I started off with dips and chins, and I started there." So, you know, pretty much within a month or so, I was a really fit, strong kid. I could probably chin 30, 40 times and dip 50 to 70 times, and push-ups I could do all day. So I did that for a couple of years. And with boxing, you had weight limits. So mine was 63.5. When I stopped boxing, I went to a local gym in South Yarra, Terry Bennett's, and I became very close with Terry and a lot of the members there. It was one of the best times of my life. And, geez, within probably 6 months of training, because of the base I had and a little bit of advice from some of the senior members there that knew what they were doing, I probably put 10 kilos of weight on. And, you know, in my early 20s, I looked as good as I ever had. And then I pretty much just sustained it from there. Terry passed away in the mid-90s, and at that point in time, I didn't really want to join another gym, so I started up my own gym. I set up my own gym at home, and it's pretty comprehensive, and it was pretty much comprehensive pretty early on. I've upgraded the equipment probably 2 or 3 times during there, but everything I've got downstairs, you've got in the commercial gym. So COVID hasn't stopped us at all, which has been very fortunate. So that's probably it.
Yeah, it's an amazing story of fitness. You know, during your time, you know, you kind of spoke about amateur boxing, and then you kind of got into some strength training. Like, have you tried to test different sports, like any physique sports or strength sports or anything within the fitness realm? Or have you just focused on just being the best version of yourself?
So, look, in regards to the physique sports, I had a real passion for the history of bodybuilding. So, you know, my all-time favourite bodybuilder is Frank Zane. So, you know, as a kid, I wanted to look like Frank, and I didn't know it wasn't possible, but, you know, I tried nonetheless. I went in a few, look, Terry used to have a show every year. I won that, and I was in pretty good shape then as a young kid. And I went in, there was a couple of these little odd things that I went in every now and then as well, and they were good. Look, I've done triathlons, road cycling. You know, I was really big into that, and I was probably knocking out 25,000 Ks on the road a year at one stage on my bike until I got hit by a car. That slowed me up. So I've had an injury that I've had to sort of live with since, but you just deal with it. Lower back injury. Weights, strength-wise, I don't try and test myself with how much I can lift. I really try and make light weights as heavy as possible, especially now. It was probably only about 6 months ago I was playing golf, and I just strained all the ligaments in my arm, and it basically stuffed me. You know, I couldn't use one side of my body for a period of time, so I'm very, very careful.
Just going back to what you said about that idea of making light weights challenging, you know, that's a concept that we kind of mature into in the fitness space. We understand that concept, but there might be some people listening who, you know, might be scratching their head and going, "Well, Michael, what do you mean by making light weights challenging or making weights heavier?" If someone, you know, was new to fitness and you said that to them, how would you explain that concept so that someone could understand that?
Okay, look, probably now I could still probably squat, 150 to 200 kilos for a couple of reps. But I don't squat anything over 75. So when it's time to squat, what I do is I'll pre-exhaust my legs before I get to squat. So I might start off with a set of leg extension and do that to momentary failure, then go into my leg press and do that till I fail, and then walk over to my squat and do the squats. I also do, you know, with bench press, I don't bench anymore. I probably haven't done a bench press for 3 years. I can still probably bench 120 kilos, but I don't bench any more than probably 60 kilos, I'd say, 60 to 80 kilos. And what I do there is I do it off a Smith machine, and I attach bands to the movement as well. So basically, the further I push the weight up, the harder it gets. And I keep the motion slow. So I generally may explode up at times, but usually I take 4 or 5 seconds to come down. I don't count reps either. I get to a point where I feel that I've done the exercise, and I hook the bar, and I generally don't rest between exercises.
And I like the mindset that, you know, we're trying to provide a stimulus to the muscle, and that stimulus doesn't need to be heavier and heavier weights. Because, you know, if you can squat you know, 3 times your body weight and bench press like twice your body weight and such, you know, that's lots of tension and stress on our, like, our joints and our ligaments, and certainly last so long before we need to take maybe some structured time off to rest and recover, and our poor joints just get a beating. So we need to find smarter ways to train where we're stimulating the muscle to grow, but we're not really just beating up our body. And I like that, you know, you're looking at kind of pre-exhaust techniques or utilizing you know, things like bands and such to really fatigue the muscle so that we're getting a good stimulus on the muscle without, you know, beating up your body, which I think becomes really important as we kind of mature into training, because, you know, we can't all be 21 years old again and just like take our body through the ringers. We need to kind of pace ourselves through time, right?
Yeah, look, and I don't miss training days. I basically train every day of the year, doing something, and if I do get injured at my age, it's going to take a long time to heal, and I've noticed that. So the beauty about the ligament damage is it was active recovery, but I was starting off with 1 kilo dumbbells and struggling with it. So that's how bad it was. You know, there's still certain things I can do, but, you know, it was just from hitting the golf ball. It's crazy.
So talk to me a little bit more about that. So just some ligament injuries in the wrist and the hand playing golf?
Yeah, so look what happened, and it's fairly common during COVID because everything's shut down. So I'm like, I played golf a lot, and then you have a break of 6 months and you get back out there and you want to hit the ball as hard and as fast as you did previously. So, yep, that's what I did. Oh, that felt strange. That really hurt. But, you know, being me, I went up and hit the ball again, and it really hurt. I had to stop. And I thought I may have torn something. I was in excruciating pain. So I went to the physio, and they had a look at it and took the MRI and all the x-rays or whatever they needed to do, and it just said it was severe ligament damage, which was the best possible outcome, but it could take, you know, 3 to 6 months to heal. I probably got back to a level where still a bit sore now, where, you know, I'm pretty much where I was at within 3 months. But it started off that my grip strength was 25% of what it was normally, and it just fatigued to nothing.
Yeah, okay. And what kind of time frame are we talking? Was that during the challenge period?
Probably six weeks to 2 months before the challenge is when it happened. So I started the challenge impaired, but it just rapidly improved. So within 2 weeks, you know, I just had to be very cautious. I was able to, they gave me the clearance to start chinning again. And my first set of chins was 3 sets of 2. But within 2 weeks, I was able to knock out 20 again. So, but then that hurt. So then I stepped back again and really managed the chins, the chinning movements and the bicep movements. So I'm up to a weight that I'm comfortable with again with biceps.
So it sounds like lots of, like, yeah, grip work you were struggling with. What about, like, when you were pressing, like if you were doing, like, let's say a bench press or like an overhead press, like was that hurting putting the weight on your wrist?
That was still okay. Yeah, but within reason. So obviously I could work my legs, the majority of the leg exercises, and yeah, the pressing movements and also the rowing movements, surprisingly, I was able to do, but I just had to be very careful. So I didn't necessarily stop training. I just modified training. And I had all the exercises I need to do. There was heaps of exercises that I needed to do, in, you know, twisting this and doing that. I still need to do them. So I was very good at doing what they said.
Good. I like that discipline to rehab. It's important. Now, Michael, you've spoken a little bit about, you know, one challenge that you might have faced, such as this injury to your arm. But, you know, within the challenge, like, we all kind of face small challenges along the way. Like, can you speak about any challenges that you might have faced over the past 6 weeks to complete this challenge?
Okay, so that was the pretty much the only one. So within the challenge, I just got a little bit tighter with what I did. So, you know, look, I haven't eaten McDonald's or Kentucky Fried Chicken for 30 years. You know, I've never had a cigarette, never had a wine. I haven't drunk alcohol forever, you know, all that sort of stuff. I've never had a recreational performance-enhancing drug. I'm pretty simple and pretty basic. And it pretty much runs in our family. My father's the same. My grandfather was the same. We're just pretty basic type of guys with the way we eat and what we do. So I really didn't change up a lot. I just looked at what was there and really worked the schedule. The only thing I did do that was outside what I deemed, you know, within my daily food intake was when I was doing a night shift, I ate 4 bits of raisin bread. So, look, I was spot on. And, look, since the challenge, the only thing that I've done different is we had some ice cream the first day. We're out of lockdown in Melbourne. We, you know, we walked 5K to the ice cream shop and walked back. So we would have, you know. So, yeah, look, this is just me. And I'm doing the next challenge as well. So, look, I'll start off at a lot better start point, and we'll see what I can do over the 6 weeks. You know, there might be something incremental there, but you know, I just enjoy training. And the other thing I did a lot of was the journals. I kept a journal every day, and you could probably see that if you go onto the thing. I did a journal every day, and there were two other guys that did as well. And even though we weren't corresponding with each other, we were keeping each other motivated. So I was reading their journals and also the rest of the journals. And I'm thinking, geez, they're going well. So I need to make sure I go well, because it's like we're all in it together. Because I don't have social media. It's something I may or may not do, but I haven't introduced myself to that at all. So I had no avenue of really getting in contact with people. So, you know, I really enjoyed the journal, and I write my journal up every night. And it really kept me accountable. I didn't know how to download it. I should have downloaded it, so I had a record of it, but I didn't know how to download it. But anyway.
Yeah, well, you could still access it now.
Oh, can I?
Yeah, if you go into the challenge website, even if you're listening to it now, you can just go to the previous top 10 finalists. You'll find Michael there, and you can read his journals if you want. Yeah, yeah.
So it's always there.
It's always there. So it'll be there for a little bit of time as you scroll through our top 10s. Yes. Now, Michael, a little bit maybe of a reflective question. You know, you're speaking a little bit about how in the next challenge you want to try to improve and, you know, build upon your, you know, level where you are now. If you were to reflect on maybe that past 6 weeks and then maybe and then project yourself forward, like where are you going to improve? Are you going to try to maybe put more effort in the gym? Are you going to try to a different method? Are you going to try to cut out that raisin bread or something? How are you going to improve and take yourself to that next level?
To be honest, I don't know how I'm going to improve. I'm just going to be consistent. Look, I don't go outside of boundaries, so I won't go to a point where I'm starving myself or I'm depriving myself or anything, or I won't go to the other point where I'm just sitting on the couch doing nothing. So I have limits within my life that I won't exceed or drop below. So, look, if I can take a half inch off my waist is down to, look, I talk in inches, so my waist is down to 30. You know, for 5'10", 50-year-old, it's, what more can I expect? If it drops a half inch and I hold my weight or put on a little bit of weight, you know, half a kilo or a kilo, I'm still at the 76 kilos that I ended at. We'll see. I'll give it a crack. But once again, it will be within the boundaries of what's reasonable and sustainable. If I can't sustain it, I won't do it. And that's what I've sort of also said to my wife. I said, you've got to be able to sustain this. It's no good to put in all this effort over a 6 week period or a 3 month period and then just regress back to where you started. That's not what we're about. So the real challenge for us is in between the breaks. And that's what the challenge, that's where I really push Caroline. All right, you did the first challenge, great result. Let's start the next challenge better than the first. And she, look, she's been going a year and I think she started at 74 kilos. And look, we don't really concern ourselves with weight. She's down to 61, but she's put on a hell of a lot of muscle too. So once again, and you know, she's still on a journey. And I said, you probably get to a point where you're going to really struggle to do anything else more within a year to 2 years, depending on how much you push. And I think, you know, the next challenge, she's going to be at a level that, you know, she's going to get incremental gains, if anything. And so it's really about trying to sustain it.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think that's the beautiful thing about starting fitness is that first maybe year within fitness, you know, we see amazing changes. You know, we see muscle really visibly starting to grow. We see, you know, body fat starting to change. We see our shape changing. We see our mobility improving and our overall strength and confidence, all these things change. But then after, you know, 30 odd years in fitness, it's really hard to see a change. You might be busting your ass and you might get that extra like 1% change in a year. And then you start to scratch your head and go, okay, well, do I want to put in, you know, 110% worth of effort to get an extra 1% in change? That's going to put a lot of like stress in my life. That's not sustainable. And then do we find a space where we go, well, I'm happy being where I am now. If I lose an inch around my waist or half an inch, that's awesome. If I gain maybe 500 grams in a year, that's awesome. And it's all about these like little wins while we're maintaining where we are. But then I think it becomes frustrating when we're on that other end of fitness where we've been training for so long and we put in all this effort and we don't get like any big changes, which I think we need to become accepting of ourselves, being like, well, it's life. We're at our, you know, close to our peak now. This is where we are, right? And you, it sounds like you've experienced that, right, Michael?
Yeah, look, I'm in regression, but I'm loving it. I've never been as confident in myself, in my body. You know, look, I looked not a lot better. I looked significantly better when I was younger. But I am more satisfied and happier with where I'm at now regressing at a slow rate. You know, it's life. You know, it's reality. You know, at some point in time, I'll die as well. But at this point, I'm just enjoying what I do, keeping it sustainable, keeping it fun. I wouldn't do it if it wasn't fun. I love getting in there. I love getting in the gym. I love eating well. You know, I love it. It's what it's got to be. You've got to get a passion for something. There's no, as I said, there's no point doing this. Look, it's a great thing. No point busting your rear end for 3 months and not continuing on and not enjoying it. You've got to be happy with yourself. You've got to be enjoying what you're doing. So what people need to try and do is find something, an avenue to get better through enjoying it and making sure it's sustainable. So I don't prep meals. You know, the only meals that we prep are leftovers. So if we do a curry, what I will do is for the challenge, I got my meats. I'm a steak, fish, eggs, and chicken guy. I just cut them up to the portions I needed. You know, my salmon was at 200 grams or something. My steak was at 250. My chicken was at 300. And I'd eat my 4 eggs in a serve. So I'd cut it up, cry it back, put it in the freezer and make sure I had stuff out there and then, you know, cook it up as a wrap or this or that. But if we did make something, you know, like some spaghetti or a curry or something, we'd make up a big batch. The thing that we really like doing is stuffed peppers. It's something from some Mediterranean things. I like to stuff them with that, you know, 10% lean mince and lentils. They're fantastic. So, you know, they're things that you want as a meal prep. They get better with time, you know what I mean? You don't want to go to a container and it gets worse every time you eat it. No chance.
Yeah, that chicken broccoli rice gets pretty boring pretty quick, right?
No, I don't understand it.
Michael, you've given us lots of nuggets through this podcast so far, but my final question here is about advice. So if someone did come to you and they wanted to get fit, they wanted to get healthy, they wanted to lose a bit of body weight, they wanted to start the challenge or anything within the fitness space, what advice would you give that person?
Actually, a lot of people do come up and ask me. So look, it's just you really need to work within your limits. So if you're starting from a low base, you need to work within those limits. There's no point, you know, going from 0 to 100 because you just won't be able to sustain it. You've got to get those little wins. So, you know, you start off with, all right, well, let's clean up my eating a little bit. Let's make sure we get to the gym. You know, and then you get from there and then you just improve. So now I'm getting to the gym and I'm getting to the gym 3 times a week. Well, let's look at, you know, trying to get a little bit more intensity. Let's look at introducing walking, you know. Walking's the only cardio I do. Look, I play sports, but if you're saying you're trying to get in shape, I walk. But during the challenge, there were days where I would walk 20 kilometres because I like doing it. You know, just get out there and just keep put the headphones in, listen to the Rolling Stones and, you know, walk 2 hours up that way and then just, I better get home, walk back. You've got to enjoy it. No point getting on an exercise bike if you don't enjoy it. We don't have treadmills. I do have a kicker that was for my riding, but if I'm riding, I'll get out and ride. You know, I've got a fixed gear bike. We'll go out and ride along the beach. You've got to find something you enjoy. So, you know, cardio, yes. You should do it for your health heart. You don't have to do it heaps of it, but, you know, you need a healthy heart. So you need to walk for an hour or so a day or ride a bike for an hour or so a day. But get out there and do it.
I like it. That's real quality advice. Michael, let's wrap it up there. I want to take a moment to thank you for donating your time to be part of the Challenge podcast. And I want to thank you for an amazing result that you've gotten in the August Challenge. And it sounds like this fitness thing is something that you've had as part of your life for your whole life, which is awesome to see. And I want to thank you for inspiring so many people to, you know, live a healthy life and make fitness part of their lives. So, man, thank you for being you and thank you for an awesome result.
Oh, thanks for that.